We're back. This is Lee from Huntsville sitting in for Phil Williams, and this is Alabama most syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams show. Lee sitting in from the Right Side Studios, local, state, national, got all the issues, solid conservative and just plain right. Had a couple of great texts, and I just thought I'd have to mention. John from Huntsville said, I thought DINK stood for double intoxicated numerous kids. LOL. For some, that is a definite yes. Unfortunately, the double intoxicated also usually have many more kids than they probably should. But I think that it's a great subject. And JT from Lacey Springs said, my calculation may be a bit off, but since Biden has been in office, migration's equal to one out of every 75 U.S. families having a child. I don't know your numbers, but I could definitely see that as being accurate. Yeah. So we have to think about that. We're going to move on to a second dipper, and we're going to talk this next hour about the libraries in Alabama. I feel has touched a lot on this over the past few months, and I wanted to bring on Elizabeth from Moms for Liberty to kind of give us a high level segment on what's happening in the state of Alabama and how our libraries can, you know, kind of put into effect what the governor's asked for. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Elizabeth on. How are you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am doing great. Can you kind of give us a 30,000-foot view of what's happening, kind of what the governor asked for and, you know, what the library systems are doing?
Yes. So I think we'll actually take a step back and even go to the national level. So this is a national conversation that is being had, and it's been going on the last couple of years, and predominantly it's because the head of the American Library Association, Emily Drabinsky, is an outspoken Marxist. That is her self-proclaimed status, and she has openly stated that it is her goal to put queer material in the minor section of libraries across the country. And the way that happens is that the American Library Association is really the only professional development arm for libraries, and it has been this way for decades.
Okay.
So what's gone on in Alabama is that every local library system in Alabama is currently incorporating aspects of the American Library Association's policies via the Freedom to Read Statement or the Library Bill of Rights. And they also sometimes use taxpayer dollars to fund memberships. And with all of this comes book recommendations from the American Library Association. And I think it's important to note so much of the discussion, I find people in Alabama going, this can't be happening. I think you're exaggerating it. These are not classic books. Nobody is worried about classic books. The entire investigation that Governor Ivey did into the entire state library system is involving books that, for the most part, have been introduced in the last 10 to 15 years. These are books, when we refer to sexually explicit, this is referring to very, very detailed, sometimes pictorial, but very detailed scenes, typically involving minors engaging in kinky, I would just use the word on the radio, kinky sexual acts, sometimes with adults watching. A lot of these books are even pictorial. They're being found in the comic sections of libraries. Mm-hmm. And so complaints occurred. And the governor did a lengthy, multi-month, statewide investigation that concluded in the late summer. And she's written numerous letters, but October 4th was a very prominent one that made national news. And it was directed to the Alabama Public Library Service. And this is important because, just for your listeners, there's two legislative pieces to this. The Alabama Public Library Service is funded out of the Alabama legislature, over $6 million a year currently. And they have a director, Dr. Nancy Pack, and they put out their own policies. They give suggestions to libraries. But In addition, every local library system in the state is independently operated and policy-wise by their library board. So the letter addressed both of these, because cleaning up the libraries involves the legislative arm, but also local citizens engaging with their own library boards and their own specific policies. And she said, your submission to Alabama Public Library Service makes it clear that parents are alone with no support from libraries to prevent their children from being exposed to these materials. She's referring to sexually explicit materials. And regrettably, local library policies you submitted generally fail to support parents hoping to protect their children from this content. And she goes on to really challenge libraries that while, of course, it's a parental rights issue, that doesn't absolve a library from doing their due diligence. You should have books in appropriate sections. Mm-hmm. You should have policies in place that prevent a minor child from checking out adult material. You shouldn't be having inappropriate displays in a child's section. And it's not all on a parent to ensure that your library is laid out in an appropriate fashion.
Do they
and
have?
She made.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do they have? Is there any guidelines as far as what is appropriate for what age group? Because
no.
I know there's three age groups.
Yes, you're correct. So really in regards to the American Library Association, all libraries across the country are set up with a children's, juvenile, and young adult section. All of these are minor children. Everybody is under 18. Any of those categories. And when people say juvenile, that's first grade. You're talking 7-year-olds. I have an 8-year-old son, so he's in second grade. So it's very personal to me. A lot of these books are in the juvenile section. I'm thinking that's second grader. And the policies are extremely loose. For instance, they do vary. Athens Limestone has selection policy. There states that they want a lot of sexual content with no objective criteria for placement or purchase. Huntsville Madison, we'll get into that later, they don't really have selection criteria, and that's really the norm. And so what she specifically says to Alabama Public Library Service, the governor states that she wants to make state aid for local libraries contingent on the adoption of sensible policies to facilitate greater parental supervision of their children. She also wants to reaffirm local libraries' ability to respond to parental concerns about sexually explicit or inappropriate materials. She goes on to also talk about the funding to the American Library Association. So you'll see that's the two arms. The legislative arm is going to have to involve APLS changing their policies at the state level. But even if that happens, which hopefully it will in session, as of right now, the state can take money away from local libraries, but they're not in a position to force local libraries to make a certain policy change. So what we're trying to do as an organization and statewide is encourage citizens to start going to these library board meetings, looking at the policy and going, okay, is there a policy that is about screening books before they're placed on shelves? Is there separation of adult material from minor children? The ALA, you can research, has most controversial book lists. I would encourage citizens to look those up. Read book reviews on them. You will be shocked what's in those books, and you'll be shocked how many of those books are in your local library.
I know you've shown some to different Republican groups, and the people there were shocked that those were actually
They're
in the
shocked.
Library. And I think most people think I think most people think maybe that the kids can't check them out because they're children, but there's no library anymore checking out the books. It's just scanning, and there's no real, am I correct? There's no real, they can check out whatever book they want to.
It depends on the library system. So in defense of my library, for the most part, the librarian does check it out. But I have confirmed this week at my own library. We have self-checkout. There is no current software system being used in Alabama that APLS, Alabama Public Library System Services, has put out for the state or local systems that flag books that are above a child's age. So every child can have their own library card, and it requires a parent to give their birth date. So both of my children have a minor library card. I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. But my son can go into the library and check out a book in an adult section that is filled with pictorial, graphic, sexual content. And we are getting reports of that happening in North Alabama. And the Huntsville-Madison library system is super busy, crazy amounts of foot traffic, predominantly at self-checkout, and there is no system in place to prevent a minor child from checking out inappropriate books, even though they've asked the parent to give the birth date and get their own library card.
Interesting. That just seems IT-wise would be an easy fix, but... I don't know. Well,
it seems like it.
I appreciate you giving us that high level because we need to know this. I think information, you know, is a key that everybody has to understand what's happening right now. But, okay, we've got to go to commercial here, but we're going to bring on another library expert in the next segment. But thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you all. Please follow up with your legislators, but also your local library board.
Great. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to head to break, but stay tuned. There's more there. We're going to talk to someone from a city that is making some real changes to their library, kind of giving us an example of what we can do. We'll be back shortly. We're back. This is Lee in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. And we have been having a conversation about Alabama's public library system. And I had an interesting question from Butters. He was like, but do people really use the library? And I say, yes, they do, actually. And I don't care how many people or what percentage. It's still our tax dollars, and we have a right to understand where they're going and how they're being spent. So this segment I'm going to have on Chuck with Clean Up Alabama. So they are a group that has worked diligently statewide. You'll have to tell me, Chuck, but to help, you know, clean up our libraries and get some of this filth out of there. And there's actually, and you tell me, Chuck, but there was a group actually formed in response to your group.
That's right. That's right. So we started back in February here locally at our Prattville Public Library. And we just started noticing, hey, you know, there's some books in the like preschool section about, you know, promoting all these kind of woke ideas for the very young kids. And, you know, somebody from our group scheduled a meeting with the library director just to kind of ask questions about it. Like, hey, how did these books get here? And, you know, what's the reason for purchasing these books? Because, no matter what, it seems a little odd to be in Autauga County in Alabama and we're teaching our kids, you know, the values of Los Angeles and Seattle. Right.
Right.
And so the director very kindly and professionally, you know, she said, well, nobody has checked out these books. We don't actually determine the books. You know, that, obviously they have the final say, but she said, you know, basically we go off of this list that a vendor gives us called the Ingram Group. And Ingram Group proposes books that they think will be popular in our area. And then we basically just kind of look over the list. Fine, click buy.
So they're not researching the books. You know, they're not researching them or looking into them. They're just taking recommendations.
And if you press them on it, and if you say, like, hey, you know, it's your responsibility to be curating the content of your library, they'll say, oh, we don't have the resources. We don't have the time to be checking into every single book. I mean, I think they do probably... you know, do a quick lookup and, and see if there are any red flags to them. But I don't, obviously, they were willing to say that for the most part, they rely on the vendor for that.
Interesting. Okay.
And so one of a lady from our group, Hannah, she decided, well, I need to go to the library board, and maybe, you know, maybe they're not aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the library board meeting and says, you know, hey, guys, we've got, you know, these kinds of books in the preschool section, and then we've also got some sexually explicit stuff in the juvenile fiction, right, the 8 to 12. Mm-hmm. And their reaction, instead of saying, oh, thank you for bringing this to our attention, we need to do something about this, they were very reactionary and said, you know, well, look, we are not in the business of enforcing standards of appropriateness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on library boards or library staff to police what your children are exposed to, right? That's kind of the line they go with. Instead, it's solely on the parents, which I think has been a really important distinction to make, right? That you can say, as Governor Ivey did in her letter to Nancy Pack, that parents bear the ultimate responsibility for what their children are exposed to, but they don't bear the sole responsibility, right? It's a false dichotomy. It's not an either-or where it's either the parents or the library.
Right.
Parents should be able to expect that they can take their children into the children's section of a public library and nothing in there would be inappropriate for them.
Agreed.
But the library board embracing, you know, I don't know how deep you want me to take this, but a subjectivist theory of truth, right? This notion that no one can know objectively whether or not a certain book is inappropriate for minors. And so,
garbage. So, of course they can.
So often, right, we get met with the criticism, well, if you don't like a book, don't check it out. And what I say to that is you're misunderstanding our point. We are not saying we don't like a book. We're not saying we don't like these books. We're saying these books are objectively harmful, and objectively in the sense that even if you or I didn't believe it, it would still be true.
So tell me what, quickly, because we got just a little over a minute, tell me what they were doing in Prattville. What's happening there?
Sure. So in Prattville, the library board is appointed half by the city council and half by the county commission.
Mm-hmm.
And the city council has over and over again said they do not want to be involved. They're just going to go with whoever the library board recommends to be appointed to the board. And they're not going to exercise any oversight over them.
Okay.
The county commission recently has decided they're going to appoint their, you know, members that they think would be good for the library board and not wait on the library board to make a recommendation to them, right? There's kind of this self-appointing that's been going on where the board has always made recommendations. The city and county have always just approved whoever it is.
So some rubber stamping.
Right. So the county has said, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to, you know, approve. We're going to appoint the people who we think will be good for the library board. So they did that a couple of weeks ago. And then within a week, I think all of the existing library board members resigned. I think they saw that the county commission was not going to continue down this path of just going with whatever the board recommends. And then here last Tuesday, they appointed three more people. The county commission appointed three more people. You know, we don't know for sure how they're going to govern, but we've got new members.
Okay, well, something to work with. Well, that's what we've got to jump for a break, but thank you so much for giving us that information. We'll be right back with a little bit more about Madison County.
Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
We're back. It's a lot of interesting information about the libraries in the state of Alabama. And I think, honestly, most of us, myself included, just suffer from lack of knowledge about the process and about, like, who's appointing these library boards. And I don't like a self-perpetuating library board. That just doesn't sound like a good idea. Sounds like a place that maybe, you know, you can end up with California values in an Alabama small town. So I've got another guest coming on. This is Carissa with Moms for Liberty. As she has a background in library science and has a detailed understanding, and want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Huntsville-Madison County library system. And glad to have you on, Carissa.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Talk to me a little bit about what's going on and what the changes we're trying to implement in the Madison County Huntsville Public Library.
All right. Well, I came on board in September, just became more aware of this in early September. And in mid-September, we heard that the Huntsville-Madison County Executive Director and some of the board members had decided that they would relocate some of the young adult books that had questionable content, sexual content, to the adult section. And I actually went to the library board meeting that they had September 20th to thank them for doing that. It all seemed very positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then in about a week, there were news reports from 1819 News that, and others, that the library was suspending those relocations. And some of the books that had already been moved were being moved back to the young adult section. And the way the article made it sound, in my impression, is that some of the branch managers and branch librarians just were not on board with moving the sexual content that was inappropriate up to the adult section. And I do think a policy needs to be in place, and that's what the board seems to be working on right now.
Okay.
I get this impression also that both with the Limestone County and with the Madison County, that they're wanting more from the state, from the Alabama Public Library System. But I also think at some point, like one of your callers earlier was stating, you know, these are their own identities right here. And locally, they could make a stand and go ahead and do a policy that keeps the sexual content out of our children and young adult sections and be a leader in our state.
And I've noticed there's been, I think the city of Foley really did upended a lot of things and rewrote their I don't know what you call it, bylaws. But essentially, is that what we're looking to do here? Is that what we should be looking to do in every library system in the state? Because I don't think most people know that the American Library Association, did they not come in and assist a lot of these library systems, the ALA?
They do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And most and it is the monopoly out there, the American Library Association. They've had the corner market on training and collection development. They have their own library bill of rights. And libraries have just come along and just adopted that. Oh, here's something that's already pre-written. You know, read over it. Yeah, we agree. And some of that was put in place decades ago. What libraries need to do now, what the boards need to do, is go in and look at those policies and decide, is this really what we want our community library, our local library, to adhere to?
Mm-hmm.
And the American Library Association has always been liberal, but there's been such a change even in the last 5 to 10 years, just a huge push toward gender identity, alternative lifestyles. And I know that there's people in the community that believe that, but so much of the sexual content is in those books as they try to push this agenda. And the board is going to have to make decisions, and that's why it's important to pay attention to city elections and county elections, because county commissioners and city councilmen are the ones who select who's on your library board.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really does come down to local politics, but the boards need to determine, where are we going to draw the line? What is sexually acceptable in books and what is not? And that seems very obvious to a lot of us. But, you know, we really need to be supporting our board and letting the boards know what we feel. So
what about the accusation?
There's a call to action,
Oh, I'm sorry. What about the accusation that we're banning books, or that people who want a book moved are banning books?
It's not true, and it's hard to get someone on that side to listen. A truly banned book means that you cannot go to Barnes & Noble or you cannot go to Amazon.com and find it. It's completely taken away from anyone being able to put their hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even asking the libraries to remove these books from the library.
Right.
We are asking that they be moved up to an adult section. And I know you spoke earlier about the fact that there's not a software in place right now that would flag someone flag a kid's card that they're trying to check out an adult book.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that, you know, a parent can go in there and check out the adult book and give it to their kid if they want their child to read that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to be able to have a safe place for children to go to the library and just want to wander around. You know, mom's out with her kids. Hey, we've got 30 minutes before this next appointment. Let's just stop at the library. Y'all go pick out three books.
Or just a reading hour, like the kids' reading hour. Yeah, like there's a lot of parents and young children at these reading times.
Mm-hmm. And the ALA really has the mindset of it is the librarian's role to provide sexual content material of all types and kinds. And we feel like it's the parent's role. So that's another reason to disaffiliate with the ALA and have local library boards write their own policy or amend their own policies to protect our children.
Yeah. And it feels like there's a lot of pushback on what is just common sense. I mean, you have to have a policy in place that tells you what's appropriate for what section. But just like the Supreme Court once said, they couldn't necessarily define pornography, but they know it when they see it. As a parent, you know when you see a book that's just not appropriate. And these librarians and the people that work in the library system should be able to have some set standards. Nobody's saying that if you want your child to have one of these outrageous books that you just can't check it out yourself and provide it to them. We're letting the parents have the choice there. But my question is, why is it that two-pronged, that they can't, that they're displaying these books? It's not just being on the shelf. People need to understand they're actively displaying them. And because kids are going to go to these displays first. And not only that, but there's no, these kids, especially in the Huntsville-Madison County, they're checking these out themselves. They're just scanning them, walking out. And there's no alert on a child's card that they can't check out above the, you know, like if say they're 8 years old and they're checking something out of an adult section that nobody even knows. I just think that sounds like a very easy fix.
And it can't be that hard to do if the software is already there for someone to be able to write some code. Because if a minor tries to buy beer at Publix through a self-checkout, it flags for a cashier to come over and check an ID.
Right.
So, we know that it is out there.
And I think it's pretty simple, especially if they have to provide their age, their date of birth, when they get the library card. You could just go off of that. Right. I don't know. To me, it seems simple, and it seems like that a lot of times the pushback seems disingenuous to me.
Yes. Now, you brought up banning books. Another thing that we hear a lot is censorship. And people who really truly feel like, we fought in world wars, we're here to have freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of all this stuff. But we're talking about children. Mm-hmm. So again, censorship, it's not censorship to protect children from sexual content. That used to be common sense. You still see that in media. You still see that again with purchasing alcohol. There's guidelines in place because a child's brain is not developed to see these images and to understand the trauma of a description of rape that's in a story. It's too much for young kids. I mean, it's a lot for adults to handle, but it's really too much for kids. And it's not censorship to protect kids. It's really not. It's not censorship to move books to another location in the library. That way parents can get them if they want their kids to have them. But to be able to just have a collection of quality materials that doesn't contain sexually explicit content is our goal.
And I think the argument of, well, how many people use the library I think it's sad because a lot of people that use the libraries maybe because they can't afford to buy the books. They check them out because they can't afford to purchase them. And their kids don't deserve any less than people who can't afford it. And our tax dollars need to be spent in a responsible way, I just think just responsible. It's not censorship, it's responsibility.
It is. And a library is a certain size.
Right.
So you only have a certain amount of space that you can have. And not every book that's printed or published has to be put in a library. There needs to be some kind of collection development procedures that are not written by the ALA, but written by a local board.
So we can have local input. Alabama values, not California values. Can you tell everybody how to look up Moms for Liberty and what they're about and what's happening with them?
Yes. You can Google Moms for Liberty and get some information on that from the website. And Moms for Liberty is just, it came about during the COVID shutdown years as parents were finding out what was actually being taught in schools and what was actually in their public libraries. And it also consists of dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents who are concerned about what is being taught in government schools and in government-run libraries. And, you know, you go to the website, you can find some information. There'll be an email or a number that'll connect you with a local person.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
Can I jump in with one quick question?
Sure.
We've got this complex rating system with TV and movies and all that kind of stuff. How has that not been implemented in this book? I mean, to try and sit there and say that this is, you know, unprecedented, that we would expect that this would be controlled in some way. How has that not been just an easy fix?
That is a great question. And I know people like Hannah Reese down in Prattville and others that are working on this, and they've created some of those. And there's others I found online that do have a 1 to 5 or 0 to 5 rating. But I do know that public libraries and public schools are exempt from, being fined or sued for sexual content. There's some kind of exemption that is in place, and I don't have that paperwork in front of me, but it protects libraries and schools from that. So they're allowed to have whatever sexual content they want.
Well, it sounds like we need to have more of an opinion as the you know, people who live in Alabama and in these counties on what's happening in our libraries. I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much and for that information. And hopefully we'll have you on again, you know, maybe talking about some changes that have been made. But
that would
be
wonderful. I would hope so.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. All right, guys. Well, we're going to head to a break, and we'll be right back. A little more commentary on the library system before moving on to my next dipper about a cacophony of noise. This is Lee in for Phil Williams for Right Side Radio, and we've been talking libraries all hour. It's a lot of information, isn't it, Butters?
Yeah, I have to confess, I'm not a voracious reader. I spend more time consuming video. YouTube is my friend, but man, this is crazy. You know, you talked about it earlier, but local government, I mean, if it's got government funds and government boards and all that kind of stuff, this is not just a thing you're going to find at libraries. It's very interesting, stuff.
I agree. And I think they almost try to obfuscate or make the information confusing or to confuse the issue because they don't really want the books out, honestly.
Yeah, that's especially when you look at the way it's coming through from, what was that, Ingram Content Group.
Yeah,
look those guys up. Encourage you guys to go check them out and you know, providing book lists and all that kind of stuff. So I think we've hit the easy button, assuming that it is a common sense thing to so many of us. And, you know, it turns out it's not. So I want to make one quick plug from the Clean Up Alabama. Want to encourage everybody to check out cleanupalabama.org. is the website, and you can find they've got a state petition for the state of Alabama trying to get legislation passed to help regulate some of the stuff in the libraries. So
great. Go check it out.
Yeah. Cleanupalabama.com.
Dot org.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, I think it's good to have more information. So I encourage everybody to go take a look at that. Go take a look at Moms for Liberty website, and just see what's happening. Because guys, it really does affect you. It really does. Local affects more than national. National is interesting and fun, but really, where you're going to see something that affects your everyday life is going to be local. So I think we've got a caller. Is that Sparky?
Yeah.
Hey there.
Hey, good show.
Thank you.
Super interesting topic, and of course disturbing as a father of daughters and a grandfather of a granddaughter.
Yeah.
The notion that a lot of far left socialist people have infiltrated the government and are dictating policy over the Department of Defense, super disturbing for me as a veteran. But to poison the minds of kids, just to, I don't know, really, their own personal rebellion against everything conservative and everything proper and Christian, I think, everything
yes.
traditionally American, yep. Mom's apple pie, two-parent families, it's really all it is. It's a big thumb in the eye from people who have found themselves in a position to influence, in this case, influence little kids who are going to end up pretty screwed up, in my opinion, when they've been told, you know, when they get told gender doesn't really exist, it's whatever you feel like, oh, you're confused here, go to the doctor and get put on Ritalin or lithium or whatever other mind-altering drugs they can do to make these kids more jacked up and then completely dependent upon the government someday.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strong parents. I mean, strong parents. My daughter's a great, strong parent, and my granddaughter's 18. She's going to graduate in May from high school, and she's so smart. And for 18 years old, pretty conservative. And I'm like, I see what the formula is, and that's attentive parents, attentive grandparents, even
right.
attentive families. Hey, we're not going to have this. There are two genders, and all this other stuff is the flavor of the month. Rebellion by people who just want to stick it to conservatives, religious people, Christians, and Republicans. And it's tragic. I mean, talk about it. It's not even polarized because it's a pogrom. It's a formula and there's a machine that says this is how it's going to be, especially mm-hmm. when we've got power in Washington.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, when you say I want the parents to be in control, I think we also expect, though, as parents, for there to be a fail-safe, that if we're not there, at least the appropriate information would be, you know, and the appropriate books would be in the right section. I'm not saying somebody can't make a choice to give their kids these books. They can. You know, we have a free country, and they have the right to do that. But I think that we need to protect children's innocence. It's important.
I agree 100%. And I learned a lot myself growing up in the 60s. You know, my father, God love him, he's long past now, leaving Playboys all around the house. I mean, I considered that, I guess at the time, fairly normal. But in the end, I was really glad I had a great mom and great family and great mm-hmm. friends who helped put everything in context. I didn't grow up to be somebody who thought all girls needed to look like those girls in Playboy or Penthouse or whatever.
Right.
I knew that there were true loving relationships, and that's what we need to strive for. So, parents out there, keep up the hard work, because it's hard work. You can't let down, because the school systems aren't looking out for the welfare of your kids, and certainly the library systems are not.
Right. I totally agree. Well, thank you so much, Sparky. I appreciate that.
I appreciate it. Good show.
Thank you. Butters, I think it's kind of a dual responsibility here. I think it does weigh heavier on the parents, but I think the responsibility of the library is to curate and to do their best to put the appropriate information in front of the appropriate age. Yep. All right. Well, we will be back on the other side to talk more about information, a cacophony of noise. We'll be right back.
all you right side ruffians.